Well, I almost feel like I need to introduce myself as I speak this morning. I did try to get a visitor bag because I love the bread that they give away each week. No, I didn't really. But it has been a long time since I've been able to share the word with you. Thank you. Glad to be back. This fall was going to be an incredibly different fall for our family. My daughter got married, and so we knew that that would be a part of it. I was going to Ethiopia, and then I was planning a vacation. So it was a whole bunch of things that were happening. And so it's really, I began to pray to say, Lord, like, what would be really effective and what would be great to be able to share with the congregation? And the Lord really opened up about a life verse from each of our pastors. And so you've been hearing from each of them. So over the last 6 weeks, you've heard a different message, coming from a very different perspective, different personalities, and different sharing it. And I know I've heard from many of you that it's been a real blessing and a real great thing. So I just know that God has used that very powerfully in their lives as well as in yours as they've worked through that. Today, I'm going to be talking about your life verse and more, and what that means. But I would like to share with you what's coming up as we look toward the future as well. The message that we're going to be doing a series. It's going to start not the next week, but the week after that. And it's going to be called Tis the Season. And it's really going to encompass both Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's. And so each of those weeks. But I will be giving you, as you look at the bottom of your outline, on your front page of your outline, it's going to have a different kind of virtue, a character quality that we're going to be emphasizing from Scripture to encourage you to demonstrate that in your world. And so what I'll do is, we're going to kind of give you a little kind of a note card that's going to have each week, and you can kind of put in there what you've done. So after your assignment, you can kind of write it up. If you're uncomfortable with putting your name, that's fine, because it's not about bragging. It's about sharing what God is doing and what kind of ideas and ways that the Spirit spoke through your life. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to post those out in our foyer. And we'll pick a couple of them and share those as we're walking through. Because I know for us as parents, I know that after we kind of got through some of those stages of that early parenting, I would watch some other parents and see them do some things, and I would go, wow, I wish I would have thought of that. And I'm like, I would have done that if I'd have thought of that. And so this is just an idea for us as a family to kind of share how God works through our lives and how we could be able to demonstrate that in our world. And so we'll be looking at that and looking forward to that. As we're talking about today and this last one, I felt it would be really important to try to kind of bring it all to a close. I kind of opened up with the very first week, closing in the last one, what it really means to have a life verse. And I hope you've all been challenged to be thinking about using God's word in your life more, maybe finding what your life verse is and what that means and how that looks for each one of you. So I hope you're finding that challenge. I'd like to share this particular verse of Scripture from 2 Timothy 2:15. Would you read together with me? Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Let's pray. Father, open our hearts, teach us this morning, help us to hear your voice, not mine. We give you thanks in Christ's name. Amen. There's a great importance of understanding context. So I'm going to talk to you about what that looks like, what that means. But when someone asks me a question, they'll say, what does this verse mean? My first thing is to say, well, let me see the context. I want to read what happened before and what happened afterwards. And that helps us to have a context and a contextual answer then to that question. Because if we don't have context, we don't exactly understand what's going on and what the whole thing might be. Now, the more you spend time in God's Word, the more you have not only context for that particular verse, but you have context of Scripture all the way through. And so that's what our goal is. You need to have a full understanding of Scripture all the way through. And so whatever you're hearing as in a doctrinal statement or some information, you're able to put that in total context of all Scripture. I mean, someone could come along and say, We don't really need the Old Testament anymore. All we need is the New Testament, because that was done away with, and we just follow the New. And then we would say, okay, well, what does Jesus say in the New Testament? He reinforced almost every book of the Old Testament in his teaching in the New Testament. We see that he says he didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And so then we say, oh, so when we have context, we understand things a whole lot better. And so this morning, let me share with you a bit of context of this particular passage that we have as we would look and do your best. Taken from 2 Timothy, verse 14, just before, to verse 18, and or 17. Let me share these with you. First, I'll share it in the NIV, because it's kind of good to hear several different perspectives. NIV says, keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It's of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus. The NLT, the New Living Translation. Remind everyone about these things and command them in God's presence to stop fighting over words. Such arguments are useless, and they can ruin those who hear them. Work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles or explains the word of truth. Avoid worthless, foolish talk that only leads to more godless behavior. This kind of talk spreads like cancer in the case of Hymenaeus and Philetus. The Message. Now, The Message is not a translation. Translations come when they look at the original manuscripts in Greek or Hebrew, and then they translate those. A paraphrase comes from looking at a translation and telling us what they think it means. It's kind of like a sermon. I do that every week. And so that's kind of what a paraphrase is. It's not directly scripture, but it's the idea of scripture. But sometimes it brings real good clarity for us, and I really like that. So here it is. Repeat these basic essentials over and over to God's people. Warn them before God against pious nitpicking, which chips away at the faith. It just wears everyone out. Concentrate on doing your best for God, work you won't be ashamed of, laying out the truth plain and simple. Stay clear of pious talk that is only talk. Words are not mere words, you know, if you're not backed by a godly life. They accumulate as poison in the soul. Hymenaeus and Philetus are examples, throwing believers off stride and missing the truth by a mile by saying the resurrection is over and done with. So it kind of gives you a better understanding that this conversation is amidst a lot of other information that Paul is telling Timothy. Now, the more you read Scripture, the more you start to understand what Scripture is saying to us. And so when I look at Timothy's books, the two, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Paul was writing to Timothy, I start to understand who Timothy is a little bit better. I think one of the battles that Timothy had was fear. I think he battled with fear probably more than anything else. Why do I think that? Because Paul reminds him several times throughout these two books about the importance of understanding that he doesn't have to be afraid of people. Fan into flame the gift that God has given to you. Do your best. Don't be afraid. God is going to be. So I start to understand Timothy and then see how it relates to me, because there's ways that God uses his word to teach every one of us. Now, one of the first things that this passage says is, let me remind you that God's word, that's what we do most. What we as pastors do most for you is remind you. I'm not necessarily going to come with like some staggering information that you're going to walk away with every week. I hope you learn something every week, but it's probably more like you're reminded about what we need to be doing and how God wants to work through our lives. And that would be a very important part, because it says, keep reminding God's people of these things. So sometimes we remind one another, And sometimes we just need to be reminded as God is working through that. First, let me remind you that God's word is, and how about you fill in the blank? God's word is, I don't want to compare you to first service, but you just did a great job. I had to do it twice for them. Don't tell them, okay. So inspired, yes, God's word is inspired. And so here's what scripture says. All scripture is God breathed. So God breathes into the writer and he writes. Now it's not automatic writing, you know, like their hands were not like out of control and they couldn't stop them and it just wrote. No, you see the personality of each of the writers. And why is that important? It's important to understand that God doesn't make us all act and react the same way. All of our personalities are different. Whether it's introvert or extrovert, they're all from God and they're all good. And that's important because sometimes we compare to one another and then we know scripture says that's not wise. So it's important that we would believe that all of God's word is God-breathed. God bless you. And so if we look at that, let me share something with you. This happened, a Christian woman who did a lot of flying for her job. As air travel made her extremely nervous, so she always took her Bible along to read. And on one flight, she found herself sitting next to a man who smirked and when she pulled out her Bible. After a while, he turned to her and asked, "You don't really believe all that stuff in there, do you?" The lady replied, "Well, of course I do. The Bible is true." To which he responded, "Well, what about the guy who swallowed the whale, or was swallowed by the whale?" She replied, "Oh, Jonah, yes, I believe that. It's in the Bible, so it's true." Still smirking, the man asked, "Well, how do you suppose he survived all that time inside the whale?" The lady replied, "Well, I don't really know. I guess when I get to heaven, I'll ask him." To which the man snidely and sarcastically asked, "Well, what if he isn't in heaven?" And to which the lady answered, "Well, then you can ask him." The fact is, all scripture is inspired by God. So what do? We accept all scripture as God's word. And so even though we may not have answers to everything, I always think the best way to respond when you don't have an answer is just to say, "Let me find out and I'll get back to you." And then you've opened the door for a future conversation as well. And then you can be more prepared in that. Now, we know, let me remind you that God's word is
alive.
Yes, alive. And that's so important. Now, if we think about this, his scripture says, "For God, the word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword." Now, this is really critical. "Cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow." Do you know how sharp that would have to be? How careful, how close? And like I could have probably one of our doctors talk to us about what that means and looks like. But the fact is, it exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. That's like so incredible to understand how exacting God's word is for every one of us. And so it changes how we think and it changes what's a part of our lives. It wants to speak to us on a daily basis. We also, let me remind you that God's word is a
guide.
God wants to use it to guide our lives, to change our behavior, and to help us to become a new person. "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." And so God wants to use his word to change us into different people. The story is told of a South Sea Islander who proudly displayed his Bible to an American soldier during World War II. A missionary had given him this Bible a few years earlier. The soldier looked at the Bible with disdain and with arrogance in his voice, said, "Oh, we've outgrown that sort of thing." The native smiled back and said, "Well, it's a good thing we haven't, because if it weren't for this book, you'd be our evening meal." The fact is, God's word should change our behavior. It should guide us into new pathways, and we become a different and a new person because it speaks to us on a daily basis. So we also are, let me remind you that God's word is a a mirror. That means when I look into it, I see me. And then I see what needs to be changed about me. Sometimes it's easy to forget what we look like externally, internally, and we don't see that. I know that on Friday night, as I was Winnie the Pooh, I was trying to be able to talk to some, and I realized I was talking normally to some people as if I didn't have a Winnie the Pooh costume on. It was a little odd, and I could see that. And the oddest time was there was a kind of a medical emergency that happened, and I said, has anybody prayed with a person? And they said, they haven't. And I said, okay, I will. And so I went in, and the EMTs were there. Fortunately, one of them said, oh, hi, Pastor. So I said, okay, good. But the others kind of looked at me strangely, and I said, I'm not usually Winnie the Pooh. Usually, I'm a pastor, and I'd like to pray with the person. But the fact is, sometimes we forget what we look like and who we are. And that's why God's Word is a mirror to us to help us to see that. And so it's an important part. He said, don't just listen to God's Word. You do what it says. When you look in the mirror, you change what you see. Now, let me say this, do your best. Let's look at this particular verse in isolation and see what it says. Do, be active in your pursuit of God's Word. Do, it's an active, be active in pursuit of God's Word. You need to make sure that you are reaching out, trying to make that kind of difference as God would have for you. And so that needs to be a part of your life. You're not compared to anyone else, but only what you do. It's personal. It hasn't given you his word so you can judge others. It's your word, so it's a mirror to you, so you can see what do I need to do? What do I need to change? What needs to be a part of my life? So it's personal when he's speaking to you. Make sure you receive it in that way. Do your best. Best. What is that? Let the Word of God be your priority. Let it speak to you and invest your best in seeking God. So when you look into his Word, he wants to speak to you personally through it. So do your best to hear what he has. That means you have to make it a priority in your life. And so you make sure. Now, I don't know if you're a morning person or a night person. How many are morning people here? Wow. How many are night people? Wow, that's really a hard divide, isn't it? I think there's more night people than morning people. I'm definitely a night person. It's hard for me to go to bed before midnight. And that's just, you know, I don't know if I think I'm going to miss something or what, but I just kind of can't seem to give it up. But the fact is, find your best time to spend in God's Word, whatever it is. And it doesn't have to be, you don't have to compare it to anybody else. Just find your time. And maybe you're not a morning person or a night person. Maybe you're a midday person. Okay, read God's Word midday if that's all you have. But find out what you are and then spend some time and make it a priority in your life. Concentrate on doing your best for God, the message. Do your best to present yourself to God. NIV, NLT, like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment. You know how a baby is if you don't feed them? Just feed them. Just feed them. You hear them screaming and crying. I mean, like, they just are hungry. Feed them. Now, some men are like that, too, so just feed them, too. I've heard that often. But the fact is, craving pure spiritual milk, like you're hungry for it. And so that's what you need to do. You need to crave pure spiritual milk because that's going to help you grow spiritually. And so if you're not hungry for God's Word, there's something wrong. Let me just tell you, there's something wrong. You need to make sure. Now, you may have to just discipline yourself to start. But after a while, you like are hungry if you don't get it. And so it starts building something in you, and that needs to be a part. So crave it. Be hungry. Work hard. What does that mean? Let's look at that. Work. To know God's Word requires effort. It's an investment in eternal truth. So you're going to have to sometimes push through that wall that is there and just do it. That means work. Don't take it for anyone else, and don't just think coming Sunday is enough for you. It's not. As good as every message has been in the last 7 weeks, it's not enough to hold you for the week. It's good for the time, and hopefully you'll remember it and use some of it later, but you need personal time with God on a regular basis. I don't know how many times I've said this, but I'll keep saying it. When you read a devotional, you get one verse of scripture and a whole bunch of other thoughts from someone else. Now, nothing wrong with that. I'm not against devotionals. We use those together, and we enjoy those. But what I'm saying is you need to have a whole bunch of scripture and a little bit of thought. That's what's really valuable, because scripture does not change. It's going to be what you need to grow by and what you need on a regular basis. So work at it. Work hard at it. The effort we put forth is not easy. It means making it a priority, making it a definite value that you add to your spiritual life. One of the most important things that ever happened to me, I can tell you, was shortly after I came to Christ, I went to a seminar, and the speaker at the seminar said, "I am challenging you to make a vow with God that you will spend 5 minutes a day reading scripture." 5 minutes a day. I thought, okay, that's not too hard. But here, let me explain to you what my life was prior to this. Prior to this, I wanted to read God's Word, and I wanted to know more about it. And there were times I would read a whole bunch, and then times I would fall into bed, and I would go, "Oh, Lord, I'm really tired. This was a really full day. I'm sorry I didn't get to read your Word today, but I'll do better tomorrow." I'd go to sleep. Next day, I'd have the same kind of conversation at night with God. And I'd say, "Oh, Lord, I know this is 2 days. I really wanted to spend more time with you today, but I've been tired and it's been a full day. So tomorrow I'll spend twice as much time." And sometimes those happen time and time again until I made this promise to God and I said, "I will spend at least 5 minutes a day reading God's Word, hearing it every day." Now, for 40 years, I've been doing that. And let me tell you, somebody calculated it out. I think Pastor Brandon did. I think it's 73,000 minutes or something. But anyway, if that's all I did. But looking at that, what do you get after all those years of spending time with God? You get an overall picture of God's Word. You get a deeper understanding. I know where things are. When people ask questions, it happens in my brain. Why? Because I had time with God, and I continue to do that. You never get past that. And so I'm just saying that's one of the most important things that happened for discipline in my own life. And that's why Scripture says, do your best. Work from the heart for your real master, for God, confident that you'll get paid in full when you come into your inheritance. Keep in mind always that the ultimate master you're serving is Christ. The sullen servant who does shoddy work will be held responsible. Being a follower of Jesus doesn't cover up bad work. So don't just say, "Oh, I wanted to read the Bible." No, you read it. You take the discipline in your life to say, "I'm going to do this." And so you make a decision to make sure that's a part of your life on a daily basis. Correctly handle. How does that look? What does that look like? I think there's a right and a wrong way to study the Word of God. God's Word is truth and life to our soul. Correctly handle. You have to know and understand what it's all about. You have to look at it more than that. Sometimes people feel like they're on a marathon to read through their Bible. And I think it's great to read through the Bible in a year, but I think it's better to read so you understand what you read and then can use it in your life, whether it's a chapter or a part or what. But you spend enough time to understand so you can correctly read it and read it in context. Handle it. You need to hold on to truth so you can investigate, evaluate, and apply it to your life. And so that's how we handle it, and it continues. We're living in a culture of really illiteracy, biblical illiteracy. So many people know so little about the Bible, and that's why our culture is changing. I thought it was awesome. I haven't been there, but I heard the owner of Hobby Lobby has built the Bible Museum in Washington, D.C., and I just heard a bit of it last night as I was listening to it, and they were kind of doing an interview with him. And because he grew up hearing the Bible, understanding, and wants to share that with as many as possible. What a great trip. So I'd love to do that at some point. But to understand how significant the Word of God, our culture knows so little. That's why they're changing things all the time, because they don't even have a basis for their belief system and where they are. We need to make sure we do. So to understand that, what do we do? And I thought this was really helpful. So I've included this, and I won't have time to go through everything on the back page. I had hoped that was my kind of optimistic viewpoint of starting today. I guess I had saved up so much in 6 weeks, I wanted to give it all to you at once. But there's some great stuff, so please read it. I'll scan through it very quickly, but read it sometime, not right now, but later on, sometime today, so you understand this. Cross the cultural rivers. In other words, when reading the book of Proverbs, you're going to have to travel from 21st century Western technological society to a 10th century BC. Middle Eastern agrarian society. If you're reading the New Testament letter of 1 Corinthians, you'll cross into a first century AD Greco-Roman and urban culture. A great study Bible will help you navigate these waters. So I would encourage you first read the Word of God for yourself, ask God for understanding, and you read, and then you seek other counsel and a great study Bible. I told Priscilla, she's incredible at that. If you don't have one, you could stop by our bookstore, and she would guide you to something that could really help you to be able to navigate these waters. But that's what you want to do. You want to understand what you're doing. If you don't cross these cultural rivers, we won't understand much of what we read. An example, Nicodemus refers to the book of Ruth. Ruth is a destitute widow with a distant relative named Boaz, who buys her a piece of property. Ruth 4:7 tells us that the guy who sells Boaz the land seals the deal by handing Boaz his sandal. My guess is that someone didn't give you a sandal when you closed on your house, right? And understanding of the culture at that time is extremely helpful, because the sandal passing custom was a way for the seller to say, the property that I used to walk on as my own now belongs to you. Isn't that a cool thing? Well, if you'll read all these information that's a part of this on the back page, you'll get a whole bunch of insights into particular areas of Scripture that can help you have a little bit more understanding of those cultural questions. Ask the journalistic questions. A good reporter relentlessly asks 5 W's. We have 5 W's. Here they are: who, what, when, where, and why. So you start asking those as you're reading, and that's going to help you to expand your thoughts and understand the context a little bit better as you're walking through that. There are, as I said, some great illustrations of who questions that'll be a part of this. You'll also see some great things for what questions when you read, and what that looks like. When questions, where questions, and then, of course, why questions that are a part of that. So as you walk through each of those, you'll have a better understanding in regard to those. Also, these three questions will help as well. Observation: what does it say? Interpretation: what does it mean? Application: how do I respond? Because I really feel that that last part always has to be, otherwise you're just storing up knowledge and information. God means it to be a part of your life. And that's why Jesus said these words in his high priestly prayer, John 17, some of his last words that were given to us. He says, make them holy, referring to us, by your truth. Teach them your, which is, that's exactly what we have to be tuned into. God wants to speak to you on a regular basis through his word. So what steps will you take to do your best to work hard and to correctly handle the word of God? First, begin by making a commitment to find the time every day to read God's word. I'm going to give you that challenge in just a few minutes. And so if you want to promise to be able to read God's word for 5 minutes a day, I'm going to give you that challenge so you can accept that. Or maybe God's been speaking, you need to have more than that, and God's been speaking to you about that. So whatever it is, I'm going to give you the challenge in just a few minutes. Remember, people do not live by bread alone. We don't seem to forget our meals, do we? Bread, it kind of clicks in our brain. Okay, some of you are already thinking about your lunch. You're already kind of there. Can I bring you back a little bit? Because we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. That's what we have to realize. Your spiritual soul has to be fed by God's word. So you've got to be able to put that time in it. Apply the word of God to your life by being obedient to what you read. So when you read it, okay, I'm going to do it. I need to do this. I need to put that in. Don't just listen to the word. You must do what it says. What do we see? Let it be part of your conversation with others as to what God is showing or teaching you. If you don't have somebody like that in your life, find somebody. Somebody that you can say, you know what God spoke to me about today? Let me share this with you. And they'll go, wow. Now if they go, oh, okay, then find somebody else. They're not the one. But if they go, oh, boy, that's exciting. That's cool to hear. That's the person you need to have in your life. Find that person. Speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit, sing and make music from the heart to the Lord. Yeah, that's our conversation. So we should encourage one another, build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. An important part of what happens, and keep accountable to God's authority in your life. That's what he wants to do. We need to say, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it's sin for them. So we need to keep God's word as our authority. Be faithful to it. Without bowing your head or closing your eyes, I want you to be accountable, and I want you to be able to do that. But if God's been speaking to your heart this morning, you either need to put more time in God's word, or maybe you need to take that promise to say, Lord, I'm going to spend 5 minutes a day with you and not let anything distract that. Would you just stand right where you are? Because I want to pray for you in closing. God's been speaking to your hearts and you're saying, yes, this is what I needed to hear today. I need to kind of plant some seeds here. I need to be faithful to this. And I want to have God's word in my life in a deeper way. And so I'm making a promise before God and before all that are watching to say, yes, I'm going to do this in my life. I want to pray with you. Father, my heart is overflowing with how your word has spoken to so many people this morning in both services. There are those who are saying, yes, I need to have this discipline as a part of my life. I need to have more of God's word, not people's voices, that speak to me on a regular basis. And so this morning, I'm saying, yes, Lord, empower them. Make this transformational in their lives, that they would have that hunger and thirst. And maybe they're having to push through a wall to get it started, and there's not really a hunger, but you're going to create it in them, because the more they do it, the more they're going to want to. And that's what you want for every one of us. Lord, draw us close to you. Help us to hunger to know you more. Help us, each one that is standing, that you would make that kind of difference in their lives in the days ahead. Let's all stand together. Father, go with us. Help us to be exactly what you've called us to be. Help us to have a heart hunger to know you more, to look more like you, so others could see Jesus in us. We give you our thanks and praise in Christ's name. Amen. May God bless you and go with you. I'll be excited to hear how God works.